Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Wow, are we going to be in for some insightful information today? My guest is Barbara Stanny, who is on a business trip to Dallas, Texas, and I believe it's Dallas, that's where she is today. Prince Charming Isn't Coming. Whoa, what a title. How Women Can Get Smart About Money. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna, for having me.
Well, it's so much fun. You've been a guest on my show before because you've written three very, very, very well accepted books.
Thank you.
And you are speaking. You have been involved with educating women and money for years.
And my book is actually, Prince Charming, is actually just come out for its 10th year anniversary edition. So,
isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That is just incredible. The 10th anniversary of a book. Prince Charming Isn't Coming, Ladies. How Women Get Smart About Money. It's okay to watch the Cinderella movie, but don't believe it because you got to look at things differently. Barbara, 10 years ago, you started talking to women about money.
Yes.
Now, there had to have been a trigger for you because most of us usually go through certain experiences that enable us to stand up in front of other people and say, hello, pay attention here. Let me tell you about me so you got an idea of where I'm coming from. What is your story?
Well, I grew up in a wealthy family, and my father, the R of H&R Block, did not believe women should make or manage money.
Ooh.
So his advice to me about money was, don't worry, and which was fine with me because I found money very confusing. And I actually married a man who was a lawyer, then he went to work for Block, and then he became a financial advisor. So he was perfect. Until I realized very early in our marriage he was a compulsive gambler.
Uh-oh.
And I found out, and every year I'd find out one, two, three times a year that he was gambling the money away, and I continued to let him manage it because that's how scared I was and intimidated I was by anything financial.
And we're not talking about 10 or 20 bucks here.
No, he lost most of my inheritance.
Incredible.
I know, and it wasn't until one day I went to the bank and there was nothing in it that I really got. I've got a problem. And even after my divorce, even after I divorced him, I got tax bills for over $1 million for back taxes he didn't pay, for illegal deals he got us in, and my signature was on everything. And see, he left the country, so I was left holding the bag. I didn't have $1 million. So I called my father to lend me the money, and he refused to lend me the money.
Boy, your stomach must have gone right down to your toes.
Oh, I thought my life was over. I really did. I thought my life's over. I had three children. One was just a baby. I did not know what I was going to do. But, Donna, I can tell you now that was the best thing he could have done.
Obviously, because you've become so knowledgeable about money and how to work with it effectively.
Yeah, So my mission is to help women, to motivate, to encourage, to inspire, and to show women how to get smart or smarter about money, even if they have their Prince Charmings. Because you and I both know Prince Charmings leave, Prince Charmings die. Prince Charmings aren't always such great money managers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about money. This really is about power. And I've always said that really becoming financially responsible, financially independent, is a rite of passage into our power.
There's a question that I would pose here. Here you had this very traumatic experience, and obviously you overcame it because you decided to do something, and we're going to discuss that a little bit. There is still a very strong, prevailing attitude that women should not be in charge of money. And much of it has to do with social education, cultural education. And this is not just in the United States, it's around the world. What you're doing is empowering women. How can a woman recognize that she doesn't need to be intimidated or to be afraid of this? And that if someone threatens her or says, well, a father, it could be an uncle, it could be an executor of an estate, it can be a husband, it can be anybody, a brother, what would you recommend for them to do?
Well, I have three steps on how to get smart or smart about money, and I still follow these three steps to this day, because one of the things, money seems, you know, the whole financial world seems very intimidating, and I say, believe me, I know from experience, it is not as difficult as the financial industry, as the media makes it sound. It's much simpler than we think. It doesn't take a lot of time to get smart, and it doesn't take a lot of money to create wealth. It's really, really, Donna, it is small steps consistently taken. You want to hear my three steps?
Please.
You do these three steps for 6 months. Even 3 months, you're going to see a difference. 6 months is going to be profound. Every day, read something about money. Even if it means just glancing at the headlines of the newspaper, even if it's just for a minute or two, because so much of getting smart or smarter is just familiarizing ourselves with the jargon, with the current trends. And women say, but I don't even understand what I'm reading. It doesn't matter. Just, it's like when my daughter was learning French, she went to a foreign language and she did what they call immersion. She just went in and started talking French. She didn't understand it at first, but eventually you start picking it up. So every day, just read, scan, peruse something about money. Every week, have a conversation about money, preferably with someone that knows more than you. And I think we women do not talk enough about money. I mean, we'll moan about it, we'll groan about it, we'll complain. But when's the last time you went out to lunch with a girlfriend and said, are you investing in mutual funds? How diversified is your portfolio? We don't do that. I started picking people's brains. Anybody I met that was smart, I would take, how did you get smart? What did you do? What advice would you have for me? So every day read, every week talk, and every month save. Automatically transfer money from your, just have the bank do it automatically from your checking account or your payroll check to a savings account. And after you have a nest egg of, say, 6 months' living expenses, then you can start investing in mutual funds, which you've been reading about and talking about.
All right. There are some very, very good points.
And I'll tell you another thing that a lot of women are doing now is they're forming, you know, women have long had book clubs. What
yes.
they're doing is they're doing study groups and book clubs around money.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a brilliant idea because we learn best together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think women have their own language with communication. And so when they are talking with other women, it is, especially those that are willing to learn, then they feel comfortable and they feel safe. We women have always done this. We'll get together. We'll say, well, what do you know about this? Well, hey, try this. Try that. Try the other. And I think we're very comfortable with that. It used to be called coffee clutches, but we're not just sitting there eating cinnamon rolls and having coffee and gaining 55 pounds. Instead, what we're doing is talking about money, how to work with it, how to work with it effective and well, what we've learned. And I have a girlfriend that started doing that with stocks because she didn't have a clue. Her husband had died, and she joined a women's organization in her community to start becoming educated about stocks. And they found that, and I believe the last statistic on that, when it came to the women's group working with stocks and investments, that their choices were substantially better than the men.
Yeah, women's investment clubs have better performance than men's.
Why do you think that is?
Because research shows us that women take more time to do the research, they do their homework more thoroughly, and they don't they don't go to hot tips. They're not impulsive. They really do their homework. So women make very, very good investors. The problem is, what we found, the research shows us that women today know they need to get smart. No one needs to talk them into it.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's important. Yet they're not doing anything about it because there's all this resistance, there's all this inertia, there's all this fear having to do with money. So aside from the three steps in educating yourself, it's really, because I believe no one's going to do it for us, but we don't have to do it alone. And I'm a real big believer in working with financial professionals. And the women I interviewed for all my books, those with the highest net worth, were not necessarily the ones that made the most money.
Oh, now that's an interesting point.
They were the ones who worked with financial professionals.
I'm going to pose a question to you. I have listened to a number of different financial professionals, many of whom just totally turned me off. They did not seem to have an open mind relative to investing as far as variables and being willing to educate. They just said, well, here, turn your money over and trust me. And that's not acceptable. How does someone find a competent financial professional?
You know, that's a really good question, Donna. And you're right. That is not acceptable. First of all, the best indicator of whether someone is a good financial advisor for you is your gut. Is your gut. The way to find a financial advisor, it's the same way we found our gynecologists, our hairdressers, our babysitters. We ask around. You ask especially people who are in the same kind of economic situation as you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them who they use. And I interviewed a woman for Prince Charming who was new to her city, and she wanted to find a financial advisor, and it was important for her to have that advisor in that city. It's not necessarily important to me, but for some people it is. She didn't know anybody. So she was getting a manicure one day. She says to her manicurist, I really want to find an advisor. I just don't know who to talk to. And her manicurist says, you know, I have 250 clients. Let me see what I can do. 2 weeks later, she goes back, and the manicurist has 10 names for her.
Wow.
So you get 3 or 4 or 5 names. You ask around, and then you interview at least 3. And in the back of Prince Charming are a list of questions you can ask a financial advisor. And I even have a booklet you can order on my website called How to Find a Financial Advisor I Can Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really, there are a lot of there are a lot of untrustworthy ones, but there are some really good people in this business who really want to help you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think there's various ways of dealing with that, and again, it's an educational process.
It very much is. You are so right.
And it is not something that you're going to find yourself dropped into overnight. I have known women, I have clients who have been worth millions of dollars, and after their husbands died, they found all kinds of hanky-panky going on. And a friend of ours, just a week ago, it was a man, he said, I never realized, and for him it was a turning point. He said he didn't realize how he could work with money differently and with less effort than he had for many, many, many years. And this is someone that is in classes all the time. He's always learning. He's always growing. And so it is something that I share with women. You have to be attentive. I've met, again, women that have lost millions of dollars because the caretakers didn't do the caretaking. They took the caretaking.
But let me tell you a story that I found very encouraging. When Prince Charming first came out, this was 10 years ago, I don't know, I was giving a talk to a group of women. And this woman comes up to me afterwards, and she's 84 years old. And she said when her husband died, he was a very wealthy physician, and he handled all the money. When he died, 7 years prior to this, she found out he not only didn't leave her any money, but he left her, all his investing was on margin, which means he borrowed money. So he left her saddled with debt. I said, what did you do? she said, well, you know, she cried, and then she immediately started taking classes. She immediately found an advisor she trusted. And she looks at me 7 years later, 84 years old, and she says, Barbara, I'm a very wealthy woman today. And she had just come on from a cruise around the world. I met her later when she was 91. She came back to hear me speak. And she told me, she said, I've done better than any man could have ever done for me.
That is an incredible statement.
My story is we get all wrapped up in the fear around it, and oh my God, what if? I'm saying it is never, ever, ever too late.
Mm-hmm.
And the power that this woman felt and the confidence this gave her, it was fabulous. And she didn't start till she was 84.
That is an incredible statement in and of itself. And
yes,
since most of us are going to be living to be in our 90s, perhaps over 100 by the grace of God, with the way we have the opportunity to do that, unlike our predecessors, that is something to think about.
That's why it is really never too late to start. I mean, it's best to start when you're young, but it's never too late. And the idea is to make it fun, to make it, because this doesn't have to be a chore.
Now, that, how can we make it fun? Because almost every woman I am aware of, that whether she's married, whether she's single, she is so cognizant of the fact that she probably will not be able to retire. That is not something that's in the book. And even if she does, the way inflation goes, there's going to be a need to work, or you're going to want to have enough financial capital to have freedom. So how do you make it fun?
Well, you do it with a group. You start slow. You do it. You do my three steps. You read. You talk. You automatically save. You join a study group. You realize slow. You do small steps every day. You go to classes. You know, there are a lot of classes. So every financial firm I know gives workshops and classes on money. And, of course, they're trying to sell you something. But I know I went to everything. If it was free, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy, but I learned. I learned so much. It's a slow process. And if you, and what I talk about in Prince Charming Isn't Coming is that there is a learning curve. There is a learning curve that you go through. And what happened is every time, and there are certain phases to this learning curve. An important part of the phase of a learning curve is overwhelmed. There is a period where you feel overwhelmed. When I started feeling overwhelmed, I bailed. I wasn't going to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when, I remember one day, I was interviewing a woman who was like so smart and savvy, and I looked at her and I said, oh my God, you're so smart. And she said to me, Barbara, you're catching me on the very tail end of a very long learning curve. And when I understood, being a psychologist, I understood learning curve. I understood their stages. I understood you have to go through some overwhelm. And if you can keep on that learning curve, if you keep reading, keep listening, keep watching those TV shows, keep talking, you will eventually see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then it really becomes fun.
Now, when women are self-employed, and apparently over 50% of all self-employed individuals in this country are female, and more women are choosing to go into business for themselves, there is something called Roth. Women can utilize this. Can you go into a little bit of explanation about what that is?
The Roth IRA?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to be self-employed to have a Roth IRA.
Okay.
If you are working, you can put money. There's a retirement package. There's the plain IRA, and there's the Roth IRA. Both of these will allow you to let your money grow tax-free. The Roth, when you take your money out, it's taxed. It's taxed. That's when it's taxed. So you can put the money in. You don't have to pay taxes on it until you take it out. This is brilliant. This is brilliant. This is the first place people should be starting to put their money, in their Roth IRA, in their IRA, in their 401k. It's amazing how women are saying they absolutely have strong intention to start putting their money in their retirement accounts, and they're not doing it. Because that's the only gift from the government gods. that we have.
And then, isn't there, if someone is just beginning, and let's say they get a windfall of $20,000 or $30,000, isn't there something where if you've not invested in a Roth, let's say it's by the age of 55, then after that time you can put in a large sum and then let it compound for you?
There's all kinds of different investment vehicles and different kinds of retirement accounts. The best thing to do is talk to your accountant about what's the best for you based on your income, based on your needs, based on how much you can put in. But if you work for a company and they will match whatever you put in, they will match it with a certain amount of money,
mm-hmm.
you're crazy not to be doing that.
Oh, I agree. I think that's marvelous. I think when companies do that for their employees, that is
right.
such a benefit.
Right. So find out from your accountant. Have a talk to your accountant about what you should be doing to plan for retirement. And there's so many options that I think it's really important to talk to somebody who knows your situation.
That's a very good point. And if you have a good accountant or a good CPA, they can really give you some good insights on it.
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you another thing I think every single woman should do, especially when she goes through any change point in her life, when she gets married, when she has a baby, when she gets divorced, go to a fee-only financial planner. And they will look at your whole life. They will look at your savings. They will look at your investing. They will look at your insurance. And they will make sure that you have a plan based on your goals, your needs, your risk tolerance, and your goals and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have a plan based on you so you can get what you want in life. And I really, because what we want to do is we want to take the emotion out of the financial decisions.
And let me pose a question to you. There are many of my listeners who are married. And if they were to go and do something like this or investigate something like this, let's say they have a spouse or a significant other that says, this is stupid. You don't need to do that. I can take care of this. I can take care of that. I can take care of the other. You don't need to worry about that. Then the woman feels like, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I shouldn't do this. How should that be handled?
Oh, you know, I did this with my mother when 4 or 5 years ago, I made my mother and father go to a financial advisor together, an estate planner, really.
Mm-hmm.
I made them do it together. My mom was not happy with this advisor. I went with her and helped her find her own advisors. She found her own accountant. She talked about it with my father. She talked about it. They created a financial plan and an estate plan that worked for both of them. It was an emotional experience. It was not easy for my mother, but they did it. 2 weeks later, my father, when they finished this plan, my father died.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything was in order. My mother knew exactly what was going on. If she hadn't had these conversations, her life would have been totally different. As it stood, because she understands, she had her own team, all she had to do was grieve.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was taken care of. I urge everyone, if their husband is taking care of the money, go talk to him about it. You don't have to do it all yourself. But what I say is you have to participate in financial decisions from a place of knowledge and not fear, ignorance, or habit.
Let's go back to you, Barbara. You had such a critical situation. How did you get out of this dilemma? $1 million debt to the IRS. How did you handle that?
How did I cope with that?
Mm-hmm. What were the steps you did?
Well, first, I had some good lawyers that got this tax bill down significantly. But I knew if I didn't get smart, I'd get another tax bill or something, because I have this theory that if you don't deal with your money will deal with you. And so I didn't know how I was going to do it. Really, Donna, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just knew. I was so committed. Staying stupid was no longer an option. And I really believe when you have that level of commitment, this may sound a little cosmic, but the universe revolves to help you meet your goal. And I was a writer, and I was hired as a, I was a journalist, and I was hired for a freelance project to interview women who were smart with money. From talking to these women, interviewing these women, it was like I would just slap the side of my head and say, well, that's how you do it. No one had explained it to me. I had no role models. So I not, and I, what I saw more than anything, Donna, it wasn't what these women did as it was as much as how they thought. And when I shifted my thinking, when I integrated their thought patterns into mine, everything changed. And then I not only got smart enough to manage my own money, but I wrote my book, my first book, Prince Charming Isn't Coming, and I began this whole new career doing financial education for women.
So, as you said, the experience overall was a blessing for you.
It was. I thanked my father many times, and I thanked my ex-husband many times, because they gave me a great story, and oh yeah, no. This is wonderful. You know, I don't have nearly the money I had today as I did 30 years ago when I had my trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, I feel a lot more secure than I ever did, because this time, now I understand it.
You have a section in your book on dealing with the fact that all the answers aren't out there, that we have to deal with ourselves, we have to deal with our fears, we have to look at what is intimidating us, and that is a process. I don't know of any other way to say it, because not only is there a learning curve, but there is a development of personal stamina, personal self-esteem.
Well,
all of this goes right into it.
Well, see, also, so much of our behavior with money is determined by our beliefs and attitudes and decisions we made about ourselves and money. And those attitudes, beliefs, and decisions we have inherited from our family. And most of those attitudes, beliefs, and decisions are unconscious, are irrational, and are no longer serving us.
Mm-hmm.
And until we uncover and make conscious those decisions we made, for example, I found from doing a lot of work on myself, I came to realize that I was scared, that I absolutely believed that a man wouldn't love me, that my parents wouldn't love me, if I was independent and if I was financially smart.
Wow.
I really believed that. And it shook the heck out of me, because I was a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, deep in my heart, there was this belief that I wouldn't be loved if I was smart. Once I realized that belief, once I realized it, I could start countering it. I could start making new beliefs that I'll attract the right man.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm so once we uncover those beliefs, I just had a friend who started making six figures, and this woman was a struggling artist. And I said, what happened? What enabled you to go from being struggling artist to being financially successful finally? And she was in her late 50s. She said, because it finally dawned on me that if I have more money, it doesn't mean someone else will have less. I always felt guilty that I was wrong to even want to make money, because I would be making some other woman homeless. And it finally dawned on me, that is so not true, that if I could start making money and become financially independent, I can use my money to help with these people.
Absolutely. The old adage, if you are strong and you're able to help yourself, then you're going to be able to do a lot more for other people.
That's right. The Indians have a saying, you cannot be charitable if you're hungry.
That is true.
That once we get out of survival, once we get out of struggle, and we start creating financial security and financial abundance for ourselves, then where our energy is freed, our creativity is freed to really think about how we can help the world.
Well, Barbara, this has been absolutely wonderful. And your book, Prince Charming Isn't Coming, we're almost out of time here, How Women Get Smart About Money. But I'll tell you guys that are listening, hey, you might enjoy reading it too. It's good, basic information with, I think, a personal touch, a good personal dose of insight. Barbara, your website is www.barbarastanny.com, and that's STANNY. Barbara, I want to thank you for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
I always enjoy talking to you, Donna. Thank you.
It is a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We've got to take a break. Don't forget, Prince Charming isn't coming, ladies. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Oh, this is Donna Sebo, the Hour of Mind Power. And our telephone lines are now open, and the telephone number is 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're calling in from Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do know we've got a caller that is waiting very patiently, but before we go to that caller, I want to mention it's just around the corner. What? It's the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, if you're out of the side of the state of Washington, you might not be flying in for this. We have thousands of people that do every year because it's such a phenomenal event. The first three weekends in August, August 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. On those days, from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m., you can enter into the magical world of the Renaissance fantasy. You'll walk through castle gates, and you will enter into this marvelous 16th century village at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. Now, this is so much fun. I'll be in costume. I have a booth on Main Street there, and you'll see the great big golden banners with the bright red lions. They're huge, and they are the logo that I use for the fair itself. Come on and say hello, but you can spend an entire weekend. And I've known people that have come back more than one weekend bringing friends and family, neighbors, because there are such wonderful, wonderful package deals. So if you'd like to find out about this phenomenal event, I want you to go to their website, WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. It is so much fun. And I've been involved with these groups for years, and it is just a pleasure to be able to interact with them. And I guarantee you the sun will be out for the Renaissance Fantasy Fair here in Washington. This is Donna Sebo. Again, phone line 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller today, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Dear, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Sylvia from Bothell.
All right, Sylvia, and this is Bothell, Washington?
Yes.
All right. Welcome to the show. Now, Sylvia, as I'm watching you in my mind, I really feel that you are anticipating a crossroad coming up within 2 to 3. I don't know if it's days, weeks, or months, to be perfectly honest, but I'm seeing 2 to 3. When I look at this, you are aware of this again. evolving. And so you're trying to figure out what options you're going to consider when you get to the center of that crossroad, and you have to make your choices. And I would like for you just to lighten up a little bit on this. You're making it more intense an experience than it needs to be. Sort of let loose, let go, be attentive, be aware. But I think you're going to have some new options coming into the picture that you would never even have considered. So I want you to know you are in slow motion, but it's not no motion. It's slow motion. And that is to your advantage, not your disadvantage. So I want you to work with it because it'll make all the difference in the world. Also, you need an eye exam. Your eyes are doing something odd. I don't know if it's a weak muscle in one of the eyes, but there's something here with a focusing problem, and I believe a lens would correct it. So I'd encourage you to have an eye checkup, especially if you're starting to work more and more on a computer. You might need to have just a pair of glasses for that close work. Just be aware. Do you have a question for me today?
I do. I am at a crossroad. My older brother has cancer, and they can no longer do chemotherapy on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what we feel like we should get my mom here to see him for the last time.
All right.
Because she lives in Alaska, and he's here.
Well, I think that's a wonderful idea if you want to bring her down. I think you ought to sit down with your brother, and since you know that this is a scenario that has evolved, then I would encourage you to ask him what he would like to consider. What would he like? Because this is his choice. And since the doctors can no longer or feel as if it is a waste to do any kind of extra treatment, then I would say, what else would you like to explore? Do you want to explore anything else?
Say that again?
Ask him what options he would like to explore, or if he really does want to explore anything else.
Do you have any idea how much longer we have, or he has?
That I am not getting a date on him. I really am not. I am looking actually at, it's almost like an open end. So apparently there is another option that he could consider. And it's something that might work with him physically. But it's almost as if you focus so much on the time, you're not going to live in the present with where you are and with where he is.
Okay.
I think you need to ask him.
Well, he said he'd love to see Mom, but he doesn't want to scare her to see how much weight he's lost. But, I mean, she's going to be upset one way or another.
He may not be as upset as you think. I think the biggest negative you could do with your mother is to not tell her the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the key is here, this is her son, there's a bond between them, and what is more important? What is most important, and I only suggest this to you, is that they have the time to communicate with each other. You talk about upset, I think if she were misled and lied to, that would really make her furious.
I know.
I don't think your mother has ever had a difficulty with accepting the truth, ever.
Okay.
She may not like it, but how many of us do?
Well, she's going to find out one way or another if we lie to her and he dies, or if we...
Well, we're all going to die, dear. The truth is, have integrity with her. Honor and respect her. And tell her the truth.
Yeah.
And maybe he's the one that needs to tell her.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Donna.
You are very welcome, Sylvia. And I know this is a tough time. But again, what I was getting in the beginning is don't try to predetermine things.
Okay.
Don't
we're still, hanging on to hope.
Yes.
All
Just
right. Thank
know
you.
Know that there is an answer.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sylvia.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call and chat with me, as I did with Sylvia, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I do want to let you know that tomorrow my guest that was scheduled for remote viewing, Joe McMoneagle, I got a call from his office, and he has been asked to go on a trip out of the country. So he is en route to his destination at this point, and I'm not going to be able to have him as a guest tomorrow. So tomorrow is going to be an open mic day. We'll be able to talk about all kinds of things, and just like right now, we're able to do that. Let's go to our next telephone caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Patty from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hi, Patty. What I'm looking at with you right off the bat is stay focused. I feel as if you have worked so very, very hard on yourself as an individual, and I'm seeing you, the image is like of a little house, and you have been meticulously going around into all the little corners of your little house, and I'm seeing you standing with a broom and a dustpan in hand. Of course, this is like watching a cartoon show in my head, and you're saying, I've done a good job, but then you're scouring, you're looking at everything, or scanning, I should say, with your eyes, and you're ready to scour away anything that has been missed. You're being very, very diligent. And this has been a do-it-yourself job, and you have really put a lot of effort into it. And I'm seeing someone that's beginning to knock on the door of this little house of self where you've done such a good job, and it's as if they've got all kinds of baggage, and they just love to dump it in your front room. And I'm seeing you looking out through the little viewpoint in the door and saying, do I want this or don't I want it? I'm going to say, you don't want it. You work too hard to straighten up things in your life, and you're doing good diligence and saying, I really want now what I bring into my space. I want to make sure it's going to maintain the order that I have established now. And you don't need to bring in somebody else's garbage. Now, when I'm looking at the symbology, it makes me think that this is very much on a mental, emotional, and a spiritual level. And you are finding that you're satisfied with certain levels of your life, and you want to bring in new people into your life, but you are going to have to be diligent. Doesn't mean you have to be snobbish. It means diligent. You don't let other people dump their dirt in your clean space. So discrimination is the key. Also, finances are really going to be, my goodness, in 2 to 3 years, I think you're going to be smiling all the way to the bank. I think you are making some primary decisions that are going to affect your financial well-being in a wonderful, wonderful way. And I see you managing your money very, very well. Our guest today, I think, is a perfect complement to what you yourself have already been working towards. What would you like to ask me about?
Thank you. I have an opportunity to go to Europe with a few folks within the next couple of months, and I'm working to make that happen. Do you see that as something that will definitely come through?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you got a particular amount of money that you are going to need to work for to be able to do this? If so, how much is it? And how much time are you being given to accumulate it?
Well, the part of the group that are that is going to Europe, one person in that group is an intimate friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might be some creative financing going on in regard to me going, but it's still up in the air.
All right. What I want you to do, I want you to be down to earth with this. I want you to really find out what the numbers are. And then I want you to look at, do you really want to put the money into this trip? Do you want to be able to carry that? And though this is a very special friend, if they are not wanting to carry the entire cost, you need to know what your costs would be, and you need to get that up front.
Yes.
And ask yourself, is this what I want to do with this money? If it ended up being, let's say, $800 to $1,200 or whatever it might be, you need to find out what it is.
Yes.
And don't sit and just wish for it.
No.
You need to look at the number, and if that's what you have to deal with, that's what you have to deal with.
Yeah, that's true. And I enjoyed listening to your radio guest, by the way.
Oh, I'm so glad. She's a delightful, delightful individual.
So thank you for bringing us good shows.
Well, you're more than welcome. I feel like it's such a wonderful opportunity to be here, number one, on bbsradio.com, and number two, to bring different people from different backgrounds into the listening lives of people around the world. I cannot imagine anything more rewarding, and it adds to my education stockpile, too, because there's so many different perspectives and positionings and observations, and each and every person has something to offer that's uniquely theirs. And I think it empowers all of us. The more that we can learn and be aware of other people that have gone through, you know, a bunch of stuff in their life, we realize we're not alone. And I would like to think that those people like yourself that are listening to the show realize that you are not alone. There's a lot of other people in this world that go through crappy situations in their life, and they made it through, and they're doing beautifully.
Well, and thank you for bringing that to us, Donna.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's my pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you would like to call in, we're going to take a break. The telephone number to call in to 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Don't forget those of you in the state of Washington. I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair along with hundreds of other people who are going to be entertaining. They are going to be cooking for you. They are going to be craftspeople. There's going to be a marvelous, marvelous environment. You can get away from the stresses of the working day by going to this wonderful event that's coming up. Yes, it's just around the corner. In fact, it's a week away. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. It begins August 4th, 5th. It's also the 11th, 12th, the 18th, and the 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each weekend day. It is magical. You'll park your car, and if you want to come in costume, hey, anything goes because this is a fantasy fair. So use your imagination. If you have something you want to put the kids in and you want to come and have, maybe the whole family gets involved in designing their own costumes, you can do that. Or if you like, you can rent costumes there. We know the nicest couple, and they rent costumes to anybody and everybody that comes in so you can experience that marvelous aura of the Renaissance period. And believe me, it is magical. There is so much going on. There is a huge live chess game where people are the chess pieces and they play the game. It is absolutely wonderful. There are stage productions. There are traveling minstrels. There are storytellers, magicians, and, oh, one of my favorites is the equestrian events. And I love the horses. They're just absolutely magnificent creatures, and there are knights in shining armor. So I hope you'll come out. I'd love to see you stop by my booth, say hello, and that's at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You can go to their website. All you have to do is add .com, WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com, and you'll find out about the rates, the package plans that they have. Don't miss this. It only comes once a year, and it is so much fun. And don't forget to look for my booth, which has the bright golden banners with the gigantic red lions on it. We will be there, and I'll be there doing many consultations, and there will be books for sale and all kinds of wonderful opportunities for conversation. So I look forward to meeting you. Do stop by and say hello. I will be at the end of Main Street. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to call in, like the previous callers, and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. From Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know that tomorrow, my guest, Joe McMonagle, I ended up having to take a business trip out of the country. So he's not going to be with us. We are going to be scheduling him, hopefully, in September. We're not able to get him for August, but we are going to be able to perhaps get him for September. This is a man who travels. He has extensive experience with remote viewing, the development of the skills, all of that is just awesome. So we will just persist. However, on tomorrow is going to be an open mic, by the way. So we will have an open mic day. This wasn't planned for, but just know, tell your friends, if anybody wanted to call in and chat with me tomorrow, we'll have the full hour to do that. On next week, we're going to have, on Monday, Dr. James L. Choron, and he is in Russia. We're going to be talking with him about True Tales of Haunted Russia. Fascinating book, wonderful stories. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Eric Jensen about how you can enrich your brain. Contrary to popular myth, there was this understanding for generations that the brain, well, we only used about 10% of it supposedly, but once you reached a certain age, that was it, folks. You were sort of going down the downhill from there. That's not the truth. In fact, they found that the brain can be encouraged to develop a lot of new things, and we're going to find out about that next Tuesday. And then Dr. Mitchell Gibson is a physician that had a very, very profound experience. And he wrote a book called Your Immortal Body of Light that I know that you're going to find interesting. We're going to be having another doctor, Dr. Lynn Eldridge, Avoiding Cancer One Day at a Time. And this book is very informative, very educational about nutrition and lifestyle and all kinds of things. And that is next Thursday. And then we're going to also be talking with Grant Langdon next Friday about scandals in the courtroom. This is a true story about a man and his family and what happened in a court of law in the United States. So we are going to have a dynamic listing of guests. And by the way, when my newsletter comes out next week, we will have all of these guests that are coming up listed so that you will know who is going to be on the agenda for the month of August. Hard to believe, isn't it? It's just next week. My goodness, the days just fly by. Of course, when you enjoy doing what you're doing, which I do, that's the way it goes. Here's the phone number, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Vernon Duke composed April in Paris, along with lyricist Yip Harbug, after living many years in Paris. And according to a story that has gone around in the showbiz circles for a lot of years, a friend of Duke loved the song so much, was just totally enchanted by the music, was inspired to go to Paris during April. Well, if you listen to the lyrics of April in Paris, it seems like it's just a perfect, perfect time of the year to go. However, when he got back from his trip, he was not in a very good mood, and he had a lot of complaints. And he went right to Vernon Duke and said, I want to know why on earth you would have a song put together saying April in Paris. Have you ever been to Paris in April? He said, the weather is terrible that time of the year. I only went because of your song. How could you do this to me, basically, was this gentleman's attitude. Well, Vernon Duke said, oh, dear, 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 dear. Well, let me tell you the truth. It was supposed to be May in Paris, but the rhythm of the music required two syllables. So we we switched it to April. Yes. Show business. It's got to rhyme. So if ever you decide to go to Paris, I think any time of the year is a great time. But apparently in April, it's sort of like Seattle, Washington. It's drippy. So you may not want to go in April. But anyway, I thought I would share a little bit of that poetic license story with you, because that is a lot of fun. Donna Sebo here, and we are out of time. My goodness. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Make your own music. You've got a wonderful melody inside you, and the world is wanting to hear it. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Remember, it's open mic. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Getting blue, but pushing left too soon. Shattered works, scarred walls. The room is still. Empty words to fill. Whatever gentle phrase that emanated from her frame shrouds me in harmony. Lullaby. The seeds bled dry. Nothing she said belonged to me. Nothing she said belonged to me. Hurts, but lies burn deep inside our soul. We've lost our way. But the ties that bind, they keep life alive. To me.